I want to share with you today out of John chapter number 8, verse number 44. This was not the original direction of today. I felt the Holy Spirit's prompting the beginning of the week to talk to you about the father of lies. Everyone say the father of lies. I want to read to you John 8, 44. Jesus said, so this chapter has been talking about our Heavenly Father and truth and freedom. And Jesus then makes this statement in John 8, 44, for you are the children of your father, the devil. I thought initially about calling it, who's your daddy? But I moved on from that. But you are the children of your father, the devil, and you love to do the evil things that he does. He was a murderer. He was a murderer from the beginning. He has, notice this, he has always hated the truth. This is not just something in 2022 where the enemy doesn't like the truth. He's always hated the truth because there is no truth in him. When he lies, it is consistent with his character. I read several different theologians and writers who dissect this verse of scripture in the original wording and language, and they actually said that this is one of the top verses in the Bible that describes what they call the core character of the devil, the core character of Satan. He is a liar and the father of lies. He is a liar and the father of lies. When you look at this verse of scripture, there are several things that as it just progresses, it tells you about this core character, the first being, he does evil things. He does evil things. The devil does evil things. Have you ever saw breaking news before or scrolled social media? You know, sometimes they'll actually warn you. They'll say what you are going to watch has some content. It's very graphic or very descriptive or very, and sometimes people say, I can't watch this, or maybe you have felt sick or even heavy after the fact because it was so repulsive or it was so evil. The devil does evil things. The original word here is thyletopoein, which is very interesting when I studied it because it talks about the devil's desires or the devil's lust. That the devil has this desire that he wants you and I to fulfill or to walk out. Jesus is telling them that the devil has always wanted to do evil things. The second thing that Jesus tells us here in this verse of scripture is that the devil is a murderer. The devil is a murderer. This word here got my attention, especially on Father's Day. The word here for murder, anthropoktonos, also connected to a word homicida. Maybe you would think of words like homicide and things, but in one of the definitions, it said the devil was known for being a manslayer. A manslayer. It got my attention when I was studying that particular part of the verse, because I started thinking about how this evil, this homicida, this agenda would love to slay people, to destroy people. You say, Micah, how? I think there's a lot of ways. I think the enemy would love to kill purpose. He would love to kill unity. He'd love to kill relationships. He's a manslayer. The Bible would tell us that the enemy wants to steal, wants to kill, and wants to destroy. Some of the definitions in this verse would say the devil would be the great tempter. How many's ever been tempted before? Great tempter. And also, and I'm just quoting, the great destroyer. Destroyer. I think it's important for all of us to understand that the devil has an agenda. That when you read words like this, the devil's desires or the devil's lust, understand that the devil would love nothing more than to destroy. The next thing that we're told here is that he hates the truth. Evil, murder, and then the third, the devil hates the truth. The devil doesn't just dislike it. He doesn't just say, well, I'll have to tolerate the truth. Maybe you've heard someone say before, hate's a strong word. Someone could say, I hate whatever food it is, or I hate this person at school, or I hate, maybe as a parent or a grandparent or a guardian, you're like, oh, hate's a strong word. It is a strong word. And Jesus reminds us that that is how the devil views the truth. He hates the truth. So if I tell you about repentance, repentance is true. Repentance is something scripturally that says that godly sorrow actually works repentance, that you could be going one direction. Repentance, one of the definitions is that you do a 180 degree turn and you're going to go a different direction. You're going one way and you're like, I don't want my life to look like this, end up like this, so I'm going to repent and I'm going to follow God. If I was to tell someone on site or online that today, the devil hates it. Hates it. This morning at our 9 o'clock service, we have people raising hands at the end. People, Pastor, pray for me. We have five. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. It's Canadian math. It's unbelievable. That's not funny. I'm from Canada, for those of you that don't know. People often ask me which part. I tell them my whole body. But five. That's not funny. Someone's like, this heat's getting to him. Five people stopped by the info center after last service to get a free Bible. The devil hates that. Hates it. We had 41 students get baptized at summer camp. It was almost midnight. It was almost midnight and we had students still telling us, I want to be baptized. One little boy came up to me, it's probably 11:15, and he said, Pastor Mike, I want to be baptized. And I know his parents, his dad gets up super early, he's a roofer. And I'm like, buddy, I think your parents are sleeping. He's like, oh, they are. That's what he told me. He's like, oh, they are. I'm like, well, we've got to call your parents to get permission. He's like, okay. Like, I'm sitting there with my phone like, this on you. You're the. So we call his dad. His dad, it actually turned out wonderful. His dad answers the phone. You could tell he was sleeping, but he gets his wife. We pray on the phone with the son, with the parents. He gets baptized. And can I just tell you, all 41 of those baptisms, a couple of them got out of the baptism waters and laid on the concrete, literally laid on the concrete, crying and praying. And the devil hated every one of them. I could tell you about the importance of family or identity or forgiveness or shame and getting shame off of you. I could talk to you about generosity or the Holy Spirit or honor or freedom or revival or restoration. And the devil would hate every single thing that we would talk about. He hates the truth. He doesn't want you to walk in forgiveness. He doesn't want your heart to be created new again. He hates the truth. And Jesus takes it a step further and says, because there is no truth in him. The final thing that we see here in this scripture, he does evil things. We see that he's a murderer, a destroyer. We see that he hates the truth. The final thing is that Jesus tells us he lies. He lies. The word here, A-U-T-O-U, means the father of lies. Now, I don't want to be too R-rated, but I do need you to understand this, that the father and the mother concept, reproduction. The father doesn't, nowadays, shouldn't, produce or give birth to the baby. The father plants the seed. This is really important. The father is going to plant the seed. Jesus tells them, you have to understand this murderer, this destroyer, this evildoer is the father or the seed planter of lies. And so what he is going to do is he is going to look for opportunities to plant seeds of lies in your life. And I want to ask you today, I want you to think about this. What are the seeds that Satan is planting in and around your life right now? Now, I know it's not actual pumpkin seeds and sunflower seeds, these various seeds. If I was to come down to Kelly, if I was to make my way to Mowry, if I was to go to Chad, to Nate, to Stacy, to Tiff, to the Booker family, if I was to make my way around this room, it's not necessarily seeds that are in all of these seats down here, but I do want to warn someone today that there are seeds that could try to get in your mind or your thought life, your heart, or your emotions. The enemy would love to plant seeds in your life, hoping that these lies, these misunderstandings, these mistruths, he'll take a half of a truth, he'll twist the truth, but he would love for these seeds to take root in your life. This week, as I began to look from Genesis to Revelation, I began to look at whether it's Eve talking to the serpent, or whether or not it's people who get sidetracked or distracted or deterred, good leaders who started one way, but then something takes place, something happens. I begin to look at what are some of the common denominators in Scripture that this seed planter, this deceiver, this father of lies, what are some of the common denominators that it seems like the devil works with? One of the things that stood out to me in Scripture is I believe that the devil loves to plant seeds of doubt. Everyone say doubt. I think the devil wants you to doubt. Doubt God. Doubt his word. It's no wonder to me that the Bible would say that when you and I pray, when we have faith, when we believe, you don't want to doubt in your heart. Because it's so easy for all of us to get these seeds of doubt. What if I could plant seeds of doubt in Becca's heart? How old are you now, Becca? What is it? 19? What is it? 18. I'm trying to make you older. 18. I always think it's funny, you know, and I have four kids, but when people are young, like, I'm 15 and a half. I'm 17 and three quarters. Like, I love it. Becca, if the devil could just plant seeds in your mind. Becca, do you realize how old that book is? You really think that happened? You really think that a young kid took a slingshot and threw a rock and killed a giant? Now, I know that works at VBS, and I know that works in kids' ministry because those kids are naive. And tell them anything. You know how kids are. Kids are gullible. You really think that? You think a guy built a boat and saved animals two by two and then sevens? You really think that, Becca? You really think a guy stuck out a stick and water separated and a million plus people walked over and then the bad guys come and the water went over top of the bad guys? You really believe that? You really believe a guy walked on water, Becca? You think that's even possible someone could walk on water? Come on, Becca. Have you looked at rocks? Have you looked at dinosaurs? Have you looked at timelines? Have you looked at? Do you understand day-age theory and gap theory? And come on, Becca. Because the devil knows. If he could plant seeds of doubt in Becca's mind, then all of a sudden the authority and the power of God's word could be held hostage because seeds of doubt. There's not just seeds of doubt, there's seeds of division. Division. The Old Testament and the New Testament. There's all kinds of disarray that comes from division. It's no wonder that heaven touched earth in Acts 2 because of unity. Or Psalm 133 that tells us if you want the commanded blessing of God, then dwell together in unity. There's no wonder one of the final prayers of Jesus Christ would be that they all may be one, young and old and black and white, and just stay together and stick together. That was one of the prayers Jesus prayed, that they all may be one. Because he knew that the devil loves to plant seeds of division. If he can divide you from other people, if he can divide you, if he can separate, think in your own life right now as you're processing, what are the seeds Satan is planting in my life? Who's frustrating you? What's frustrating you? What's irritating you? Because you could start getting really, really aggravated. I don't know why they do that. I don't know why they raise their kids like that. Why does she post that? Why is he always acting like that? What an egomaniac. Can you believe how prideful they are? That one guy in the parking lot and the one kid's check-in worker and my one neighbor and that. So before you know it, you don't even realize it, but this master seed planter is planting seeds of division in your life. I think the devil loves to plant seeds of distance. Distance. That at first it doesn't seem like much, it's just a seed. What is this? This is nothing. Or so it seems. But if you leave this for a while and it gets some water and gets some sunshine and a little bit of time, at first, it seems like it's not a big deal to miss a Sunday. Not a big deal to be away 2 or 3 or 4 weeks. It's not a big deal if I'm not there all the time. What's the big deal if I don't pray for a while? If I don't have Bible reading, or I don't get a scripture a day, or I don't soap, or I don't journal, or I don't. And before you know it, this becomes where you were once. You know, the Bible would talk that you could be engaged or on fire, or you could be, but then before long, you find yourself drifting. Stories in the Bible that would tell us that David, this mighty man, who wins many battles, but then he decides, I don't need to take this battle. I don't need to go to war this time. I think I could just stay back here. I don't really need to do it this time. Before we know, there's adultery and there's murder. And Simon Peter, who's such a strong man and could cut off ears and stand up for Christ, but the Bible says that when he stood afar off, that's distance, he stood afar off. Before you know it, he's denying Christ. because the devil loves to plant seeds of distance. I think the devil loves to plant seeds of discontent. This is a message all in of itself, but we don't have time. Discontent. The writer in Philippians says, I have learned in every condition, in every state, in every circumstance, to be content. That's what the writer said. I have learned in every place I find myself to be content. You know what the devil loves to do to you? Maybe he's doing it right now. Seeds of discontent. I hate where I live, Micah. I hate where I work. I hate what's going on. I don't like my neighbors. I don't like what's going on in my family. I don't like you. There are people that you'll start like, I don't like my age. I don't like my... And I think sometimes you and I have to be careful. I know you could say, Micah, well, that's normal. I understand, but sometimes it's more than just normal. I think the devil's planting seeds of discontent in your life. I don't like being married to him. I don't like being married to her. I think the grass would be greener. I think, is it possible that the devil is planting seeds of discontent? As we get ready to close today, I started this message thinking, I want to share with you on this Father's Day, as we talk about the father of lies, I want to share with you 10 lies the devil tells you. And then it was way too long, and I'm like, okay, I'm going to do seven. Seven's a good number. Seven lies the devil tells you. Yesterday, I got it to five. And then last night, I thought, you know what, Micah, you got to at least get it to three or four. And so I'm going to give you in closing four lies. I've asked several people, quite a few over the week, and then this weekend, what are the lies that you think Satan tells you? And I want to give you four lies that I believe that the devil tries to plant these seeds in your life. The first lie, there are no absolutes. There are no absolutes. I think this is a lie that the devil has always wanted to give people, but in this generation, it seems like he's put his foot on the gas. He'll tell people there's no such thing as sin. There are no real consequences. You are not going to reap what you sow. He'll tell you, live your life. You only live once. YOLO. It's so weird when old people say that stuff, isn't it? He'll tell you, live your truth, as if there's not God's truth. Years ago, Tim, I saw a billboard, and it stuck with me for years now, and always will. But the front of the billboard was one of those, I can't remember what beer company or whatever was promoting it, but it was one of those things where the lights and there's people dancing and the guys and girls, and you can just tell everyone's having an amazing time. And it wasn't that side of the billboard that stood out to me. What stood out to me was the back side of the billboard. We've done a lot of billboards over the years as a church. At one point, we had 18 billboards, and I used to try to gauge the impact and effect of them, and would talk to ODOT and the amount of people going by, and then we would ask on cards, how did you hear about us? And so for a season, I was very drawn to billboards and the impact and effect of it. But this particular billboard on the one side, because if you study it and you're like, I don't really care, Micah, but if you study even the traffic flow going each way is a big deal with billboards, whether you're getting people in the mornings or you're getting them in the afternoon or evenings and their engagement and distractions, and you're like, move on, let's go eat. Okay, that's fine if you don't want to know about billboards, people. I'm just kidding. Gas is $5. We didn't drive all the way there to hear about a stupid billboard. Like, calm down, people. Seeds of frustration. Like, just kidding. On the back side of the billboard, on the back side of the billboard was a number to call if you were addicted or out of control and you needed help. Call that number for help. I'll never forget it, because it just stood out to me in that moment that the devil never shows you the backside of the billboard. He's always going to tell you it's awesome. You know, the Bible says sin is fun for a season. The devil is always going to show you the front side of the billboard, but he's not going to tell you about the number you're going to want to call when you feel like you're at the end of your rope and don't know where to go and what to do. He'll plant the seeds that there are no absolutes. He's going to plant seeds like he did all the way back, if we went to Genesis 3:1, to Eve. Did God really say, did he really say, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth? Is it a big deal? Did he really say to flee sexual immorality? Come on. Did he really say forgive 70 times 7? Did he really? Did he really say let all bitterness and wrath and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you, and be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake forgave you? Did he really say? Because he wants you and I to live as if there is no absolutes. The Bible says in Colossians 3, put to death therefore whatever belongs to your earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. The second lie that I believe the enemy tries to plant in our lives is you are unlovable. You're unlovable. Over my years of pastoring, this might be number one for me as a pastor, because I have had conversation after conversation after conversation with people who have told me, Pastor Micah, they'll say this line, if you only knew. My mind floods with conversations of people who said, Pastor Micah, I've had 3 abortions and never told nobody. Pastor Micah, will you take this to your grave? Pastor Micah, if anyone in my family knew. I've watched people cry so hard they could hardly talk. It's almost as if they were starting to hyperventilate a bit. I've had people that literally have had to lay down in my office when they begin to talk about the things that they have done or that they have gone through. The enemy is a master in these moments. When people say things like that, you know, the woman who went through 5 husbands, now in Scripture the Bible said she's with number 6. There's a reason why she's drawing water in the middle of the day when the heat is so hot. Because I would never ask you to raise your hand, but I think all of us could agree that when your life is messed up, the last thing you want is to be around people. And there's probably no one that makes you feel worse than your own self. Unlovable. It's in those moments that the enemy can start to mess with your mind. And he'll start telling you, your own family's disappointed in you. You're a disgrace. Other people, your class, your hometown, your street or subdivision, look what they've done with their life. And look at you. You could be young and feel like you've crossed the line. You could be up in years. And like the woman caught in the act of adultery, the Bible says the first one that dropped the rock was the old guy. I'm sure in that moment when Jesus said, you without sin, his mind started racing and running with all the things he's done. I think from youngest to oldest, everyone battles this lie at one point or another. You are unlovable. You can start feeling like you're unforgivable. There's no way out. This is often where the issue becomes your identity. In other words, you start thinking that you are what you've done. Counselors have told me that multiple times, that people will take it on and start thinking, that's not just what I done, what I did, that's who I am. And when you start feeling like that, when you start viewing it that way, I know some people would say and believe, once a liar, always a liar, once a cheater, always a cheater, once an addict, always an addict, once a... This is being super transparent right now, but over the years as I have dealt even with suicide, it has been heartbreaking how many times that I have talked to people and found out that underneath the outside layer of that person's life, there was something from 2 years ago or 5 years ago or 10 years ago that they just didn't think they could get out of. One of the toughest places that you and I ever find ourselves in life is this lie that will tell us you are unlovable. If someone really knew, if they really knew what you've done, if they really knew what you've committed, if they really knew, and the enemy will mess with your mind to tell you you're unlovable. And I just want to remind someone today, it's a lie. We're coming to a close, but it's a lie. I've never met one person that's too far gone for God. I've never met one person that's unlovable. If you look at the life of Jesus Christ, it seemed like he was going person to person. Whether or not it's that woman I talked about who committed adultery, or the woman at the well, or Simon Peter who denied Christ, or the list goes on. Jesus had a way of finding that person who felt like there is just no way and reminding them, I am the way. I am the way out. The Bible says he will always provide a way of escape. Someone say it's a lie. When the enemy tells people that, it's a lie. Romans 8 says, for I am convinced that neither death nor life, angels, demons, present, future, powers, height, depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from most unrighteousness, from everything but the big stuff. Is that what it says? Or does it say that we have a God who can handle it all? The Bible says that the Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5, Christ had no sin, but God made him become sin so that in Christ we could be right with God. The third lie that I want to share with you, the third lie is this: you are not good enough. It was very interesting for me this week when I asked people, what is the greatest lie that you believe that the devil tries to plant in your life? This was the top of the list. I have no particular order to these four lies, but this is the lie that by far people this week said was the biggest lie for them. You're not enough. I've really thought a lot about it. I woke through the night several times, actually a couple times till then. I just felt I was under attack last night. I don't know who that this message is for, but I really felt under attack multiple times as I was praying, preparing, planning for this message and through the night last night. I don't know what lie the enemy's been telling you. I don't know what seed he's been trying to put in your life, but he's a liar. He's a liar. I started thinking, Maddie, how was this the answer I was getting the most from people? You're not enough. I'm an overthinker, my personality, but I started thinking, like, is it because kids and students hear you're a mistake? Is that why? You know, people will say things like that, like, you're a mistake, you weren't planned, it wasn't intentional, we were having you. And then people hear other things like, you'll never amount to anything, you'll never become anything, you're the black sheep of the family. I started thinking, like, is that why? Is it because the 43% of students don't have an active, engaged, healthy relationship with their dad? Is that why? Is there abandonment issues? I know it sounds pretty general to say daddy issues, but I thought that this week. And then I came home and I asked my wife, we just celebrated 25 years of marriage. I said, babe, what's the greatest lie the enemy's ever told you, pastor's wife? When I say she's an anchor and a key part of our church, and she, over the years, people would have no idea all the stuff my wife has done for our church. I know she's not up here a lot, but she's sitting there, and within seconds she said, I think the lie that the devil tells me the most is I'm not enough. And I started thinking, it's not just students at a camp. It's a pastor's wife sitting in our house saying, the devil tries to tell me I'm not enough. And then I started wondering how many people could be thinking, I'm not enough. I'm not enough for the purpose or plan God has for my life. I'm not enough of a dad. I'm not enough of a wife. I'm not enough of a mom. I'm not enough as a husband. I'm not enough as... I just want to remind someone today, the devil is a liar. He's a liar. These are not new lies coming to a close, but these are not new lies. When God used Moses to deliver over 1 million people, you know one of the first things that Moses said? I don't know if I'm enough. I stutter. I have issues. I don't know what I'm going to say. When Gideon was used greatly by God, one of the first things he said, that the family that I'm a part of, we are the least of the least. There is no rung lower on the ladder than ours. That's what Gideon told him. And yet God used them greatly. But today, in your own life, I think we can start talking ourselves out of God's plan. Because this seed of self-doubt, this seed of second-guessing, it'll start telling you, I don't know, Andy Shields, I don't know if I'm enough, but I want you to know, you're the apple of God's eye. I want you to know that when you were in the womb, God was already making plans for you. Andy Shields, I want you to know that God thought you were so valuable, he would give up his own son. We're talking about Father's Day. God would give up his own son for your sin because he thought you were that valuable. You are in the palm of his hand, and there's nothing and no one that can pluck you out. He knows how many hair are on your head. There's no other thumbprint, handprint like yours. You are special to him. And every time the devil tries to plant seeds in your life telling you or anyone else that you can't, that you won't, you need to remind yourself, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. The final lie I want to share with you today is just this. Such a simple lie, but it's a powerful lie. You won't make it. The devil loves to plant these seeds. You won't make it. I know you're trying to find freedom. I know you're trying to get out of the mess that you got in. I know you're trying to recover. I know that you want to come out the other side of this. You're not going to make it. You're not going to make it. The devil loves to plant those seeds. And he could be trying to tell you that right now. How old are you now, Maddie? 17. I watch you and other students. I watched you. How old are you now? 16. I watched you guys. You were one of the ones laid on the concrete, right? Wasn't that you and your brother over there laid on the concrete? Here's what the devil will tell you. That's great you're doing that at 17, 16. It's just because you're young and naive. You're not going to make it. Let's check back when you're 40 or 50, MediShield, see if you're on a worship team. Let's check back at 40 or 50 and see if you're still like, oh, I love Jesus and I'll worship till midnight. Sure, Maddie. Sure, Maddie. He'll tell someone like Justin Metters, raising $400,000 to plant a church launching in September in Columbus, Villages Church. I'm so excited about it. But he'll plant seeds in your mind. They say 1 out of 5 church plants survive. He'll plant seeds in your mind like, there ain't no way. You're going to have all that stuff in 5 years from now on Marketplace or Craigslist, pennies on the dollar. You're not going to be able to do it. Because he's a master seed planter that tells people, you won't make it. I talked to a family between services. Tomorrow they're celebrating 35 years of marriage. They have been through so much. You want to talk about a family that's gone through storms? That family has been through so much. Medical stuff and emotional stuff and financial stuff. But the devil will get in the minds of marriages. How long have you been married now, Stacy?
7 years.
7 years. The devil will tell you, Thomas's ain't making it. You're not making it. I deeply love my kids, Brooklyn and Jalen and Eliana and Micaiah, and now Trey is my son-in-law. I deeply love my kids, and you hear all that stuff about statistics and studies and kids, and once they get college age, and once they get, and yet in your mind as parents, I know it's Father's Day, but as parents and grandparents, I just want to remind you today that the enemy is a master of trying to plant seeds, telling you your business won't make it, your marriage won't make it, your kids won't make it, you're not going to make it, things are going to fall apart. And I want to press pause on all of those seeds today and just declare, not just to you, but to the devil, there are people that are going to make it. There are marriages that are going to make it. There are students that are going to make it. There are churches that are going to make it. Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail. Come on, will not prevail against it. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Stay standing with me if you would. I know you say, Micah, but people are going to fall away. People are going to fall away. People are going to get lukewarm. People are going to. I understand. But I also know that there's people that's going to hear, well done. Well done, Marquita. Well done, Tim. Well done, Anthony. Well done, John. Well done, good and faithful servant. What are the seeds that the enemy has been trying to plant in your life? Is he planting that seed of discontent, saying, oh, just give it some time? You see where they're sitting right now? See where they're standing right now? Come back in 6 months. That seat's going to be empty. Seeds of division. Seeds of doubt. What are the seeds that the enemy has been trying to plant in your life? Because before you know it, these seeds that are full of fear, these seeds that are trying to take root, before you know it, Zach, you can look around and there's seeds everywhere. I prayed this over my own mind and heart this week as I've been preparing. I've told myself this probably 100 times, Jen. Micah, sweep up the seeds. No, you can't stay in my life. You can't stay in my mind. You can't stay in my house. My own wife is not going to sit in a chair and tell me she's not good enough when I know full well we're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. When I know full well that greater is He that's in us than he that's in the world. When I know full well sweep up the seeds, Micah. Not just because Julie Hinklin, who cleans our facility. Julie's been with me 19 years. Not just because you're scared of Julie. That's part of it. I'm like, how can I clean this up at the end and make it a point? Like, I'm just kidding. I've really told myself a lot, sweep up the seeds. Because if there's hundreds of students who feel like they're unlovable or who feel like they're not enough, I pray that God's going to use stories I had to tell them, even in 2022. Now, you are enough. I think you can change the world. I actually think you could see revival that'll be recorded in history. No, you're enough. I know evil seducers wax worse and worse, but I also know the Bible says that where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. All these seeds can't stay around my life or your life. I pray that God will use Storyside to be a church that if people walk through these doors, and if people come in here that feel like they're unlovable, you know what I'm talking about. Some of them were you. You're some of the ones that sat in the office and said, if people only knew. I pray that Storyside will always be a church that if someone comes in with all of these seeds from 5 years ago and 10 years ago or two churches ago, if they come in with these seeds of saying, there's no way that God could love me, I pray that we're always a church that says, but I'm persuaded that there's no one that's outside of the love of God or the arm of the Lord. And like the writer said in Corinthians, that it doesn't matter whether or not it's been sexual sin or sexual past or adultery or fornication or all of those things the Bible talks about. The very next verse says, and such were some of you, but you're washed, you're sanctified, and you're justified. I hope that we're always a church that believes that the love of God can change someone's life. As you close your eyes today, I don't know what the seeds are that the enemy has planted in your life. At 12 minutes after 12, I want to pray before you go and get in your vehicle and enjoy 85 degrees and sunshine. Thank God the power's back on for most and praying it comes off on for the remaining. But before you leave today, I want to pray against the father of lies, the devil, and the seeds that he's been planting in your life. Division and discontent and doubt. I want to pray against the seeds that he's been saying you're not good enough and you'll never make it and your kids won't make it. And I want to pray against all those seeds. You're unlovable and you're unforgivable. And if people only knew, I want to tell you that we have a God who knows everything, and he's not given up on you. He's not given up on you. I feel the Holy Spirit even as we're praying right now. On site and online, just with our eyes closed right now, if there's anyone that would be honest enough to say, Pastor Micah, the devil, the father of lies, he's been trying to plant some of these seeds in my life. Maybe it's not a broom. I'm not walking around with a broom, but I need to get some of these seeds out of my mind and my heart. Would you just raise a hand right now so I can pray with you? Thank you. Hands are going up all over the room. I want to pray with you today. Hands are still going up. God, I pray right now over every person that's saying, I don't want these seeds in my life. I pray that the truth of God, the truth is greater than the facts, and the truth is definitely greater than lies. I pray the truth of God would meet with people even right now as we're praying, that we would get rid of some seeds and some lies that have been trying to take root in our lives. I pray that you would remind someone that the goodness of God, the grace of God, the mercy of God is running after them. That the psalmist said, surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord. Not just until times get tough, not just until days get difficult, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. God, I pray if there's anyone in this room or online that needs forgiven of sin today, they need salvation. I pray that they would repent. I pray that you would forgive them today. For others who are discouraged, maybe even distracted, feeling defeated like I've talked about, I pray that you would bring them back to your path and your purpose, even as we're praying. Pray that we would sweep up some of these seeds. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Can we sing this song out to him today? Are you thankful for the goodness of God? Are you thankful for the grace of God? Are you thankful for a heavenly Father that loves you? Come on, just celebrate the truth of God today. Let the truth of God set you free and give you freedom in Jesus' name.